Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
And we'd like to welcome you to The Educated Investor. Happy Monday to everyone. Hope everyone had a great, great weekend. And we are glad to bring you this show each week. You can check out the website, cishonfinancialservices.com. That's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. And their number, 720-482-1917. And with that, we will welcome David Cishon. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. Nice to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, we want to help you with every show in some way and helping you with your estate and retirement planning. And today we're going to talk about estate planning, and that is one of the five areas that we've always talked about over the last few years with David of financial planning, and that is estate planning. So, David, I guess first of all, when you sit down with people and kind of talk about, you know, this whole idea of their retirement plan, do most people have an idea that estate planning plays such a huge role?
Yeah, well, they have an idea.
Okay.
They've heard the term.
Right.
And most estate planners will tell you that mistakes and oversights really occur very, very frequently, and it's regardless of whether the client or the prospect has $1 billion or a few hundred thousand dollars. And it's a shame because a lot of people either don't have a plan,
mm-hmm.
or they have a plan that they thought they put together years ago, stuck it in the drawer, never looked at it again.
Right.
So, you know, there's some essentials that we always look at when people come in, because again, there's some key features here in estate planning that we always look at, and we'll talk about these. But like education and communication is one, and
mm-hmm.
and anticipating family conflicts, which never happen, is another. even understanding the basics of the plan, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But you know that the people that will come in, like I said, you know, they understand that they need to have something, and some of them do,
mm-hmm.
but they don't really know all the different elements. For example, you know, a basic will, you know, so that the state doesn't mandate who your assets go to, you do. And then there's the opportunity, if you need it, to have a living trust that we'll talk about, and certain powers of attorney, so that if you have a financial, you know, consideration and you can't make the decision, you appointed somebody that can make that decision for you, and also a power of attorney or advanced medical directive so that people can act in your benefit if you're incapable because of whatever reason.
Right.
So, you know, you have to have these things, and one of the major reasons plans that people have aren't successful is really that the next generation, maybe their kids or whoever they're leaving it to, really aren't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see many times where I'll ask older clients that have them, well, how did you communicate to your kids or beneficiaries what your estate plan says, how much assets you have? And rarely is that accomplished.
Right.
You know, they don't. And all of a sudden, the beneficiary, something happens. The parents die, one or the other first and then the second, and the kids get this money. And they don't have a clue. All they see is cash. They don't know any of the where-for-alls as to how the parents really put it together, how they invested it, what they like to do. And they have this will that just gives them the opportunity to, here it is, cash it out and take the money. And many, many times they are lost in continuing these assets to really benefit them. They end up spending or losing this money to bad investments or scams. And of course, you know, education is a critical element here, and we make recommendations to people that they should be doing this over a period of time, not a 1 hour someday of the life of these kids, but over a period of time of maybe once a year, reviewing with them how you put your assets together, what you'd like to see done with them, how you're going to receive them. Are you going to receive them in cash or property? You know, but again, having a conversation so it's not such a shock if something happens,
right,
and making sure that these documents are up to date.
And I'm sure you've heard, you know, way more stories than I have, but I can't tell you, just over the years, you know, we've been doing radio and just different things. And I mean, I actually had a young man call me one time, and I mean, just a horrific story, but his dad had committed suicide, and he called into our helpline saying, you know, he told me he had a will, but I don't know where to go to find it. You know, I mean, it was just a horrible deal. So, like I say, that communication has got to be there, especially with people involved in your immediate family and maybe those you've designated for different duties, right?
Oh, absolutely. And again, some of those people that you originally designated may not even be around. Who knows?
Yeah, true.
It could be a death or they moved out of the area. Any number of things. There was divorce and so forth. So meetings and communicating is a very good thing to do. And if they, meaning the parents or the people with the will or the trust, if they're uncomfortable in discussing these kinds of things, then, you know, bring in their financial advisor, have them, you know, communicate, do reviews on the estate from time to time, but to communicate with the kids or the heirs so they understand what the intentions are and how to manage those intentions, mm-hmm, you know, in the best interest of all parties.
Right.
Because the bottom line is, if you don't, Uncle Sam is going to get more. And what I mean by Uncle Sam, either the federal government or the state government will get more of these assets than they should.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, most people that you deal with, you know, they probably have some type of will or whatever. But I've seen so many times where people just say, oh, you know, my wife will take care of things in the financial world, or, you know, she can just take care of the accounts. But many people don't realize if you're not on those accounts designated in some way, you can't get into those accounts, right?
Oh, absolutely correct. You know, and many times I've seen this situation where they have a safe deposit box at a bank, and the bank hears that someone passed away, they lock that drawer. And if someone wants to get it and they're not on the account, forget it.
Wow.
It's got to go through probate and the mess that exists with that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, communications, like you said, the will is something that's there. And yet you read, I was just reading over the weekend, there was a, you know, that great singer, Prince.
Oh, sure.
Right? He didn't have a will.
Didn't have a will.
Didn't have a will. Didn't name an executor. Didn't name anybody. And it is going to be a very, 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 very expensive mess to clean up. That's just one of many. You know, and I see this happening more frequently than you can imagine. It's just not these big name people and very important, prominent people. We've had our fair share here in Colorado, quite honestly.
Yes.
But but it's the average person or the person that needs to have the documents in place and doesn't have a current, for example, power of attorney or a current living will, which is your right to die.
Right.
It's outdated. And will it work? Of course it'll work, but it could get very, very expensive, which is why most people go after and get an attorney to handle this stuff, and it's not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it is. And consequently, these assets can be dissipated because not taken care of, getting it up to date, looking at these documents every 2, 3, 4 years, depending on what your attorney or estate planning attorney recommends. We typically recommend a review if there's a major law change, just to give your attorney a call, or at the very least, every 3, 4, 5 years, sit down and do a review, or certainly if there's a change in your will of people that you have in there that you don't want in there or can't be in there anymore.
Sure. And, you know, this is something, too, that a lot of people, you know, tend to put off a lot because, number one, who wants to think about it, you know, the end of life and all. But, you know, like you said, boy, the communication with other family members and all, and, boy, if anything we've learned over these last, you know, 12 to 15 months is, boy, life is uncertain, health is uncertain, and I can't tell you how many, you know, just people I know and different stories I read, how someone became incapacitated very quickly and very unexpectedly, and then you can't sit down and go through this stuff. So now you're in a mess, putting it off.
Yeah, and if they are really in bad shape, like all these people that ended up, you know, passing on, unfortunately, you know, maybe they didn't have but an old will or none at all, and, of course, they aren't capable of signing one on their deathbed. If they're incompetent or aren't conscious, and if they don't have powers of attorney in place, then their kids, whomever, can't do it either. So, and we see this all often, and of course, one of the other aspects that we see a lot is anticipating family conflicts. Now, I know you. There's never a conflict.
Yeah.
People pass on. But boy, I tell you, these conflicts can be very, very problematic. And the thing that I initially hear from people when I ask them, my kids are perfect. They get along pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, you know, heck, the kids will work it out. We don't have to worry about it. Well, personalities change over time, and whether it's different personalities or philosophies, jointly inherited property or people that are involved can be very, very disruptive and very embarrassing to the balance of the family members.
Sure.
So,
I had a friend of mine once, it was his father that had died, and his recent ex-wife, I say recent, had been divorced 4 or 5 years, she went to the house of where he lived during the funeral, knowing everyone was going to be at the funeral, and took all the stuff she wanted out of the house during the funeral. So, like you say, situations change things, and money changes people sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And so it's something that needs to be addressed and resolved. Which is why, you know, some people, and we'll kind of talk about this a little later, but some people choose to have, you could call it a family trust. It's really called a revocable trust because you can always change the documents. But they'll have a trust, and they'll have everything in writing in that trust so that, you know, the kids just pick it out, whoever's the co-trustee or surviving trustee, or executor, or whatever it might be, reads it, and it's there. It's black and white. Mom or dad said this, this, and this. There's nothing for the kids to argue over. They may not be happy, but that's it. And it's so much easier than just saying, the kids will handle it.
Yeah, sure.
And it doesn't work well.
Absolutely.
So that is a huge concern there.
Now, you mentioned making gifts earlier.
Yeah.
There's a proper way to do that, right?
Well, there is. It depends on the type of gift that you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give them cash over time? Do you want to give them real estate? And again, there are tax reasons for doing certain things and how to do them so that they get the benefit of those events. And I think that most people, if they are going to make gifts, if they're fortunate enough to have the, wherefores to make substantial gifts, and I don't mean gifts like throwing in a couple $100 on their birthday to their retirement, to their college education fund or those kinds of things. I mean, you know, substantial amounts of monies, what's going to be the best way of making those gifts and making those gifts in the manner that they'll treat those gifts as you want them to be treated for their benefit or their grandkids' benefits.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you sit down with people, this is one thing I think that's great about the way that you do business. You have contacts with all the folks, you know, from tax folks to, you know, estate planning and all that. Mm-hmm. So someone doesn't have to go to someone else, and while they're certainly welcome to, I like it because I think all the people that you work with know what you expect and know what people need as well.
Right, right. And we kind of act, if you will, as a hub on a wheel. We pull in the different resources that we want to use if the client or the prospects wants that. You know, if a person has an attorney that they really like and want to use, that's fine with me, as long as he's open to communications and we can address certain areas, that's fine. Obviously, when we're talking estate planning, I prefer to be using an estate planning attorney.
Right.
Not someone that chases ambulances and other things, but someone who really understands estate planning and the tools that can be used from the smallest client to the largest client, and they specialize in that area. Many people think, I'll just get a will and stick it in a drawer and be done. Well, mm-hmm. You know, the laws change, things happen, and you need somebody. You can also get these wills online. You order them, or powers of attorney, and some people, I've seen people come in, they have that, and they think that's good because it costs them next to nothing. But if something goes wrong, who do you sue? Do mm-hmm. you sue yourself?
Well, I mean, it would be just like trying to do an estate financial plan off of some just fill in the blanks. I mean, no situation is for everybody. So there's going to be questions that are just not fill in the blank easy, right?
That is so correct. And you want people that, you know, are paid a reasonable amount of money so that if there is a mistake, you have recourse. They all have errors and omissions. Not that you want to use that. But it's still there. They're professionals. They specialize. They can keep you abreast and keep you in line. And again, understanding the basics of your own plan is critical. You don't have to be your own attorney mm-hmm. or understand all the legalese, but you've got to have it organized, simplified, and you have to understand the basics. There's been different surveys done. There's a magazine out there, Private Wealth, and they do these surveys from time to time. And what was interesting was 70% of the estate planners that they talked with believe that most of their clients don't really understand their estate plan. And it's true.
Wow.
I'll ask what this clause means in their will or what this clause means in their trust. Very simple, they have no clue. So people need to have a list of goals that they're trying to do in this estate plan, whatever it is. Just know what they're trying to accomplish, and then have the ability to understand from the person that you're working with the basics. You don't have to understand every single little thing, but understand the basic. And because quite honestly, when people do have wills, and if the attorney discusses it before they sign or trusts, they may understand it then, but, you know, 6 months or 6 years from now, they're going to lose some of that knowledge.
Sure. David C. Sean is with us. You're listening to The Educated Investor. Their number, 720-482-1917. It is CichonFinancialServices.com is the website. Again, that's C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. Free consultation, again, 720-482-1917. Now, another little area in our notes here I want to touch on, too, when you talk about a business succession. So if someone has a business, my, I can't imagine the nightmare that may present for the family if nothing was in writing of what to do, how to handle it when there's a business involved.
Well, that's exactly true. You know, we see a lot of folks come in, they have small businesses or medium-sized businesses, but they don't really have a succession plan. And that's one of the major reasons why few businesses survive the second generation of owners. They end up with a business that might be successful, and now what do you do with it? You got to be able to run it. Who's going to really own it? Or is it a combination? Well, if someone doesn't know anything about your business, how are they going to run it?
Sure.
You know, people need to have a roadmap. Whether it's in your estate, so your executive knows, or in your business, so whoever is there, you know, they know, you know, that they know.
Right.
And how to handle this, you know?
Right.
Whether it's to be sold or run, you know, it's guesstimated that a successful succession plan usually takes about 5 years to really put in place so that everybody who's involved knows what is going to happen.
Yes, sir. Makes sense.
You know, and it should make sense, and yet very, very few people do it because, you know, it's the shoemaker's shoes. You know, he's busy taking care of everybody else's and forgets that he's got holes in his.
Absolutely. Now, when you talk about, you know, leaving, maybe most people think of leaving your kids cash and money, and that's what their goal is, to take care of their kids. But do you normally recommend that you, you know, don't just leave them cash that they can just get to, that they put it in some kind of trust?
Well, you know, that's a good thing. It all depends on the people that are involved, the beneficiary, the kids themselves. If there's a question as to whether they can handle it properly according to your wishes or your thoughts about their ability to handle money, or if they've been involved with marrying people that have turned out to be not the wisest of judgments, you know, you might consider, let's have it in the trust and let's make provisions so they can access it, but not to the extent that they can destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
And or allow those assets to go outside the family. You know, divorces happen, and if it's just a will, anybody can contend that will. So a spouse that's divorced, ex-spouse, or even adopted kids or kids themselves, they don't like what they hear, they can go after that will.
Right.
A properly drafted trust, most good estate planning attorneys will tell you that they can do it in a manner that those things can be avoided and the assets will stay where they rightfully belong.
Now, when you talk about going over these again, just for those that were maybe didn't catch that, if they feel like they have, you know, some type of estate plan, they should look that over how often again?
Well, it all depends. You know, we recommend any time there's a major law change or a major change in their lives or the lives of people that are associated with the documents, that's a time to review. Certainly anywhere from 3, 4, 5 years just to review because, again, we forget most things in 90 days.
Right.
So, you know, and again, I think we're going to see different things coming out of Congress that is going to be attacking our monies to some degree, and not necessarily all in a negative manner, but still attacking because they got to fund. We got to pay for all of these tools, monies that are going into the economy and into the infrastructure, perhaps. Somebody's got to pay for them.
Sure.
And so it's easy to make laws. I mean, I read one that's they're contemplating of reducing the federal estate tax exemption You know, we each have 3 or 4 million exemptions so that we can pass those assets on to people and not pay any federal estate tax, which is quite a large percentage, somewhere around 45% of that to the federal government. They're thinking of reducing that, and there's an article I read just the other day, back to 1 million. So you go from 11 million to 1 million.
Oh, my.
Well, yeah. That could affect a lot of people that never thought they would be affected. Having a small business and a house and so forth, and pretty soon, poop, you're over that million.
Hmm.
So, you know, we've got to be aware, and that's why I say from time to time, it's not stick it in the drawer and forget about it, because that costs people tremendous amounts of monies.
Absolutely. Once again, it is David C. Sean. It is CSeanFinancialServices.com. Their number 720-482-1917. And, hey, look, we've all had a lot of time to think about all the things in the future. Maybe you've got a plan, but give David a call and get that second opinion. It is absolutely free of charge for that initial consult. All you have to do is call 720-482-1917. So, David, great information once again, sir, and we'll look forward to our visit next week.
You betcha, Scott. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir, and you as well. You've been listening to Educated Investor with David C. Sean of the Householder Group. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
You're listening to KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Health Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Welcome to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad to have you with us. Our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And we are glad to have Dr. Shane Stedman, the owner of Integrated Health Systems, with us today. Dr. Stedman, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing today?
Hey, man, I'm good. I wish the sun was out a little bit. But this is kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of refreshing to go out and get a little bit of this weather, I guess.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Maynard and I were, you know, in our office. I was on the phone with somebody, and he was getting some work done for a second. And we were looking outside, and I was like, man, it's just like the grass in front of our office is so green. And I'm like, this is awesome. I just need those trees to leaf out, and they'll just look like a little mini Portland wannabe.
No doubt, man. It sure is. And as they say, we always need the moisture, man, because it does get dry here in a few weeks and months in the summer. So absolutely. Well, hey, we've been talking about detox here lately with all the different members of your team, and we're going to continue that topic today. So when we talk about a detox, I guess what would be the first thing you would tell people is, you know, how do they know if they should do a detox?
You know, usually your symptoms are weight gain or difficulty of losing weight. So that could be a sign of detox or that your detox system is off. Skin, you know, a lot of people don't realize your skin is a detox organ. Mm-hmm. And people that have skin issues, acne, you know, just interesting skin stuff here and there. I mean, you kind of even hear like liver spots, you know, on older people, you know, this kind of a common thing. So, you know, so that we know that our skin is a detoxification organ, and if our detox system is off, then you tend to see things with the skin. I think another thing that's always fascinating that, you know, when people think about it is, you know, when people drink a lot, you can always smell it. You know, it's almost like you swear it's coming off their skin, you know, and we make those comments where you're like, oh, man, you can tell so-and-so's been drinking. They just reek of alcohol.
Right.
You know, or even like garlic, you know, some people, you know, consume garlic and, you know, depending on how their body clears it, you can just smell it on their skin. Mm-hmm. You know, so we know it's a big deal that when people have skin issues, they struggle with weight. They have swelling all over their body for no reason. Even sometimes headaches can play a role with that. Estrogen or hormonal imbalances as well, because you have to clear out, you know, your hormones. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, those are probably the main ones that people can look at themselves and go, wow, those are some of the things that make me think I need a detox. But there's a lot of health issues that stem from not clearing things out properly or not having a good detoxification system.
Sure. And look at some things on your Facebook page, which, by the way, I hope if you're on Facebook, you will go check it out, Integrated Health Systems. You talk about our body having a detoxification system. So what's kind of involved in that?
Yeah, so it's really kind of a simple process to break down. So imagine there's three different kind of phases or three different processes that your body goes through to eliminate stuff. And in the first phase, and actually they kind of label this now, you know, it's like a phase one, phase two, and phase three. But that first phase, the whole role is to take something that is toxic in your body and to make it non-toxic, or to make something that's non-soluble, meaning it doesn't mix very well, and make it mixable. And this is because things that are in our body, you know, there's actually natural processes in our body that are very toxic. And so our body actually does little things like bubble wrap it, you know, and it gets it over to the liver because you can't have it unwrapped floating through the bloodstream. You know, so your body does a really good job of kind of bubble wrapping things and chemicals and toxins and then taking them over to the liver, where the liver then can convert it into something that's non-toxic.
Right.
And so that's your first phase. And so a lot of people are very familiar with this phase because you probably heard the term like the cytochrome P450 system, especially if you've listened to different like prescription advertisements. You know, they talk about the P450 system. And that system is what helps to convert that. The second system is what they call like conjugation, or meaning attach. You know, so they attach something because you have to transport it now. So once your body makes it non-toxic or makes it, you know, soluble or mixable, then we have to be able to bind it because we have to transport it. And so your body has, you know, 5-6 different types of transporters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for instance, probably the one that some people have heard, and, you know, I would imagine people listening to the show, you know, that maybe are regulars, they probably, you know, hear this term like methylation or methyl donors or MTHFR. The methyl piece of it is one of those binders. So estrogen, for instance, has to be cleared out through what's called methylation. So you have to attach a methyl group onto it to clear it out. And this is the same whether it's different medications or toxins or chemicals, perfumes, and even like neurotransmitters and natural processes in your body. So we have something called methylation. We also have another one called sulfation. So you have to have sulfur. We also have glutathione conjugation. And if you listen to the show, we've talked about glutathione in the past for sure. And then there's actually another one that is associated with blood sugar, and it's called glucuronidation. And so blood sugar actually plays a role with liver detox. So once your body takes something that's toxic and makes it non-toxic, then you have to go to the next phase or the next process to bind it. Mm-hmm. And then once you bind it, then it has to be cleared out, and it gets cleared out through the gallbladder, which is your phase 3. And then from there, now you have something that's non-toxic, you have something that's mixable, and you can eliminate it through urine, you can eliminate through your digestive tract, and that's how your body's able to clear it. But if you kind of have a hiccup in any one of these three systems, then what could possibly take place is they call it reconjugation, or going back into circulation. And then this is where now your body's trying to process these things, or maybe your skin is now kind of getting involved and you can start seeing some of these other health concerns.
All right. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. Again, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. And like I say, if you're on Facebook, go check it out. Integrated Health Systems is the page, and they have been doing a campaign here. So let's kind of break into that and this 5-day detox Facebook group you got going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, people who are interested in this, and you know, a lot of people just love the education. You know, one of the things that we did last month is you know, we do things like the live panels that people can attend and
right. Ask
questions live, and we've done webinars. And so we decided, what's another thing we can try? You know, and so we did a kind of a 5-day education on detox, and it's absolutely free. You know, and so I talk, and Dr. Maynard talks, and Lindsay talks, and Jake talks. So we all have a role. And so we, you know, we got on Zoom and we did our little, you know, interview with each other and kind of discussed here some of the topics that we can teach people about. And so we promoted that, and it's something free that you guys can do. And the other thing that we did was we kind of made it this kind of do it yourself. So we kind of, you know, sometimes people don't really want to become patients, and sometimes they just want to do things themselves, or they've been reading and they don't know where to get stuff. And so we kind of created a do it your own self. You know, if you want to get the supplements and kind of do things on your own with a program that we've kind of put together, then that's an option too. And what we did with that is we even made a Facebook community. So the people that are kind of like wanting to do it themselves, they can kind of go into this Facebook community, and And Lindsay's actually going to kind of help spearhead that. So she's going to be able to answer some even more questions. You know, people might say, well, what about this or what about that? Or what foods should I get? What chemicals should I avoid? You know, what are things that are toxic? And so we're trying something new. We're like, hey, let's just brainstorm. And
sure.
Let's provide a bunch of information out there, and we'll make a Facebook community. And if people want to join in and ask more questions and we can help out, that's great, because it's all about helping as many people as we can. And so we kind of create a little do-it-yourself with a Facebook group that you can be a part of. And, yeah, kind of simple, no right. hassle.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You know, now with all the different, you know, supplement world out there and things you drink or chew or swallow with people, I mean, is there any just maybe – warnings you want to give, though, about just, you know, you should know something about what you're taking and where it came from, right?
yeah, exactly. And again, this is why we kind of created the do-it-yourself and a community, because I think there's a lot of interesting information out there. You know, and sometimes I laugh because you always have those groups that are like, oh, we have the best supplement that, you know, is grown in a certain area under the full moon, you know, when the tide is high and we pluck it, it's, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too ridiculous. You know, there's certain supplements that they promote certain aspects of detoxification. And there are very commonly known ones like dandelion root and milk thistle, you know, that you'll see, like if you go to, you know, any of the supplement companies, you'll see those all over the shelf,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then also if you buy stuff on your own, there's always a difference about, you know, with getting supplements, you know, that is available to the public versus supplements that are available to a doctor's office. And so a lot of times in our world, they're called nutraceuticals. And so these nutraceutical supplements have their higher dosages, they're more therapeutic, usually higher quality, you know, they're third party tested. You know, and so there's a lot more standards that tend to kind of go into these things. So we usually tell people, like, you should be really kind of careful about where you buy your stuff. You know, and usually if you buy it from a doctor's office, you know, majority of the time we're selling stuff that you can't even get unless you're a licensed professional.
Right. Have you noticed through all this thing that we've been through these last, you know, number of months and year over year that people – maybe have come in and talked about their immune system more and how they can make it stronger? And that's, you kind of seeing more of an importance put on that?
Definitely, you know, definitely, which I think is great. You know, I there's going to be good that comes of all this. And I would say that's, you know, definitely there's people that come in here and really want to learn more about their immune system and how can they support it. You know, I think, unfortunately, that's probably still a very small percentage of the population,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you still see a lot of people who don't take care of themselves or are not eating healthy, you know, and things like that. But, you know, definitely that's more of a question, you know, which I would say that's, you know, people just in the past go, oh, I should take some more vitamin C and I'll get through it all. And now people are like, what else can I do? And I need to reduce my inflammation. I need to raise my vitamin D. I need to do this. I need to do that. And it's great because it's opening the door to conversations of, you know, this is why it's important to, you know, be healthy and to be proactive about your health, you know, because, you know, you never know what's going to come down the pipe.
Sure.
You know, whether it be something like, you know, COVID or the flu or mono or a parasite or bacterial infection. You just never know what can happen. So you always want your body to be the strongest that it can be, you know.
Yeah, you kind of wonder why, you know, none of the, quote, experts through all this. I mean, I haven't heard one of them say, hey, get to your doctor. Figure out how you can boost your immune system. You know, get healthy, you know, instead of just wearing a mask and washing your hands and getting a vaccine, you know.
Yeah, it'd be kind of cool, you know. I think we talked about this before. It would be a kind of a cool concept, you know, to educate, you know, the public and say here are things that you can do to be proactive, you know, because I think sometimes that's the missing piece, you know, is being proactive. And there are things that you can do proactively, you know, and do your best, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think because that's all you can do is, you know, I like the saying that you do. What is it? You do something until you know better, and then you do better, you know? And I think a lot of people do what they know because they don't know anything else. And I think, you know, sometimes I wish that the amount of information that was coming out, even through the media, would say, here are things that you can do to be proactive, even like reducing stress, going for walks, meditating, eating healthy, you know?
Sure.
There are some very simple things that we could all implement, but, you know.
I know.
We do the best we can until we know better, and then we do better.
For sure. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us, and once again, our show is brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Their number, 303-781-5617. And go give their Facebook page a like and follow. Again, it's Integrated Health Systems, and you can stay up to speed on usually all the things even we're going to talk about on the show there. But a lot of great information, and I know Dr. Steadman's really doing his best just to kind of bring us all an education on this matter of detox. So with all the different professionals he has there, which you hear on the show regularly, promise you, in that big circle of people that he's got there, they can help you. Now, I want to talk about another area of your practice a little bit that you started not too long back, and that's the IV therapy. So kind of educate us on what all you've got available there and then, you know, why that's important for us.
Absolutely. You know, IV therapy is something I've always wanted to get into. And now that, you know, we have, you know, a nurse practitioner, you know, on staff, it really provides us some of these things that we hadn't done in the past. So, you know, we've been kind of setting up the clinic and working lots, you know, over COVID. That was kind of one of the changes that we made. And IV therapies are just really, really fascinating. You know, you definitely hear like IV bars are getting bigger and bigger and more,
mm-hmm.
where I think 5 years ago, I mean, I couldn't even find anybody to do an IV,
sure.
you know, to get an IV. And now you can go to Denver and go to an IV bar. But I think what's great is, you know, so we can do some certain things like glutathione is probably one of my favorite things. And you know, we use supplements that have glutathione, trying to support the immune system or reduce inflammation, support autoimmune conditions, you know, and things like this. And now, like, having an IV is kind of that the scenario of being able to, like, kind of super saturate, you know, people. And to see, okay, how big of a change does this make? You know, and there's actually now IV kind of protocols, you know, for cognitive function and for brain health and for sports recovery, for endurance, for immune support. And so it's been really kind of cool to get into the IV world. Even something called NAD, which, I mean, you know, some people are like, what is NAD? And people who know what it is, they know what it is. But it really kind of turns on the mitochondria. And, I mean, it's really fascinating how we can really get somebody's energy up and kind of get their body working again with NAD, IV therapies. So it's really kind of this cool door that's opened up and allowed us to, you know, my hope is to get people better faster, mm-hmm. you know, by doing something in IV versus a supplement, because you can take glutathione as a supplement, you know, and it's got to get through your system, through the digestive tract, you know, and out into the body, where if you do an IV, you can go, you know, right into the bloodstream, you know, and it just gets there faster.
Sure.
And so it's been fun to work with IVs here in the office.
So as far as a time commitment, somebody comes there, wants to do that. I mean, should they set aside 45 minutes, an hour? What's the ideal time to set aside to come in and do that?
Yeah, usually it's about, you know, between like 30 minutes, hour at the most, you know, I think.
Okay.
It seems like everybody's a little bit different, you know, because, like, for instance, like NAD, you know, you definitely feel it. Like, it makes your energy go up,
mm-hmm.
you know, so some people you got to, like, kind of do the IV a little bit slow, where other people you can do a little bit quicker. So, you know, the first time I did the NAD, because I was like, I want to see what this feels like, you know, I remember, you know, so the nurse practitioner, she kind of made it run a little bit faster, because I was like, I want to see what that feels like. And also I was like, whoa, I got way too much energy. Slow down, you know. And you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, so you get some of those where some of them you also want to drip slowly. Others you can kind of drip a little fast. So, you know, usually you kind of say, like, anywhere from 30 minutes to 45 would probably be good.
Right. Now, we got a question in, and they said, if someone is diabetic or type 2 diabetes and all that, is a detox generally, and I'll say generally, I learned from you, safe for them?
Yeah, generally it is.
Okay.
Because, you know, because definitely with, you know, with diabetes, you know, that, man, diabetes just, it takes a toll on a lot of different systems. you know, and so it generally is kind of a good thing to support the liver. And it's interesting how over the years there's been a lot of patients, you know, that we've worked on, and this is something that I tend to do a lot more often now, is working on the gut and the liver. It's kind of like, if you think about your liver as like the filter in your house, you know, if you never change the filter, then you notice that your house is just dusty.
Right.
So you're constantly like, you know, dusting and dusting and dusting and dusting, where if you would just, you know, change out your filter, you know, all of a sudden you're like, huh, wow, there's no more dust in my house. This is great. I'm breathing. I don't have sinus. I'm not waking up congested, you know, all those different things. And so, you know, it's interesting how we will definitely spend the time to make sure that our filters are clean and our ducts are clean and our carpet is clean and brand new carpet, just to reduce the dust and allergens. But your liver is your body's filter, and so we need to make sure that we keep it moving, because, you know, we can't just go change the filter in our liver. That'd be pretty awesome, but just can't do it.
Yeah, sure. So when you talk about this matter of detox, is that what we're doing? We are kind of detoxing some organs?
No, your body stores all your toxins. So if you can't clear them out very well, then your body has to do something with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, there's this concept that, you know, your metals and toxins and things are stored in fat. So even when, like, people lose weight, so if somebody comes in and they've lost 20, 30 pounds, I mean, one of the most important things to do is you've got to get that liver working, because all those toxins and hormones and things like that that are stored in fat, they got to be cleared out somewhere. So, you know, and usually, you know, if somebody's not super healthy or if they are overweight, there's a good chance that filter isn't working as well as it should. So you got to get that filter moving, you know, so that as they're losing weight, they can move those toxins through. And this is why it's important, is because you don't need to be storing these toxins in fat. And that's what makes it tough to lose weight, because if you can't clear your toxins, then how easy is it to lose weight? Because your body's got to store it somehow, you know. And so, you know, even a big part of weight loss can be, you know, just doing a detox. So it's not for every organ, but it's mostly for the liver, you know, and the gallbladder. But you will hear some people say that you're even kind of detoxing your cells, quote unquote. You know, I think you're just giving your body a nice spring cleaning.
Right, right. Boy, it seems like, you know, most people I know, including myself, boy, over this time, boy, everybody gained a little bit of weight through this. And everybody's looking for the answer how to get it off. So, I mean, do you start out with a detox? Do you start out with, you know, maybe fasting or doing some intermittent fasting for a while and then doing a detox? Are there any proper steps to doing this right?
You know, that's where our 5-day detox program in the Facebook community is coming into play. So, like, we can tell you this is how you do it right. You know, there are some, because there usually you want to do something with diet too. So you want to eat clean. You know, so kind of what we put together for, so people that want to do it or people who want to do, you know, the DIY version of it, is we put together like a packet, like, here's how to eat. So we're going to, you know, kind of lay out, here's how we want you to eat. Here are the supplements to take. Here are the things that you can do to support a healthy detox. And what's a better time than right now in the spring before the summer kicks in? I mean, we have a day today that's kind of rainy and cloudy, you know, so it's, you know, it's not like you can go out and go hiking and biking and, you know, skiing. So it's good right now to say, like, let's hunker down. Let's get ourselves cleaned up before the summer. You know, maybe let's get some of the COVID weight off as everybody's getting back out, you know, into the swing of things. And, you know, let's kind of, you know, hit the reset button and get mm-hmm. things working again.
Right. So the intermittent fasting, have you seen that to be a pretty proven tool for most people?
It can be, you know, and I think the thing to always be careful, and this is why it's good to have, you know, to know docs that know a lot about this, is that it can be really good, and for some people it's not so great, you know. There's definitely, intermittent fasting has some really amazing benefits to it, and when you don't, you know, when you kind of go with these time-restricted eating, you know, patterns, your body can actually do some, you know, there's a lot of talks and research behind how your body can go into like autophagy, where kind of it's almost like cleans up the debris, you mm-hmm. know, cleans up all the stuff that needs to be cleaned up. And then your body can kind of go into like a quote unquote, like healing kind of mechanism. And so this is kind of what you see with intermittent fasting, but there are definitely some people that just don't do well with that, you know,
right.
And a lot of times we might see people who have their blood sugar is too low. You know, so you start getting into intermittent fasting and they're kind of falling apart. So I think it's a really great tool, you know, and it's always good to ask your doc, because it may not be a great tool for you, or if you decide to try it, it's sometimes better to try, you know, with maybe a 12-hour fast and then a 14-hour fast and a 16-hour fast. And sometimes you just have to work your way up to it, you know. But, you know, probably the best person in the office and here to always talk to if people are interested is Dr. Maynard. I mean, he loves that kind of stuff and done so much research on it. He just geeks out every time. I think our last live discussion panel, we were talking on something, and he got off on intermittent fasting, and I was like, oh, we got to bring it back. Because he loves to talk about that one.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people when I, you know, tell them they should come see us, I say, look, you know, go in, get a really good blood workup done, because that gives you kind of insight to what's going on. And then, you know, you will let them know what different things, paths they might need to take to get on a good healthy pattern here. But that blood work is pretty important, isn't it?
It is. You know, I was doing an exam this morning, and we got the blood work back, and you know, the poor patient's been dealing with migraines for like 10 years and fatigue for 10 years, achiness, memory, I mean, all sorts of stuff, and she is very, very anemic. So I told her, I was like, your blood work is so anemic that if you went to go donate blood, they would not accept it, you know.
Really?
I was like, so
wow.
You got to get your iron up or you're never going to feel better. And this is probably why you've been feeling, you know, kind of poopy for the past 10 years, you know, which is kind of sad. But it's like, if I didn't have that blood work, you know, I went to see like how severely anemic she is. And she's like, oh, I've been told that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. But
and probably most of the patients you see, I mean, you might get some patients in that just say, I've been feeling, you know, really terrible for a couple of months. But isn't more of the stories, I've been feeling bad for 5 or 10 years or 20.
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. Yeah, easily. That's most of the cases. It's always like 5 to 10 years. You know, whenever you get somebody who's like, oh, I've been feeling bad for the past 2 months, you're like, oh, this is great.
Right.
It should be easy.
Yeah. Well, and we've said this before, but probably things you've never said to a patient is, boy, you didn't need to come in this early. You know, because if everybody would just come in, you know, and I don't know why, and especially guys, we're probably the worst at it, you know, than anybody. But, man, if you feel something that's not right in your body, I mean, I know you've had friends and I've had friends that, man, found out some horrible news because they just ignored something for, you know, month after month, then it's year after year. And just if something feels weird, you should get it checked out and see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's easier to nip things in the butt than it is to deal with, you know, the devastations of what can happen. You know, it's much easier to be proactive than to be reactive later on.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, get on Facebook. Become a part of the Facebook group for Integrated Health Systems. Get on this 5-day detox. And again, their number 303-781-5617. You've been listening to Your Health Matters. I want to thank Dr. Shane Steadman for his time. So, Doc, thank you, and I will talk to you soon, sir.
All right, Scott. Have a great week.
All right, you as well. Thanks for joining us for Your Health Matters. Once again, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617, integratedhealthdenver.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.